I'm sure. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Amen.
Thank you, Heather, for reading that so well. On the 1st of January, New Year's Day, 1977, a little while ago, I was standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee quite early in the morning, before breakfast. And as I looked out across the lovely still waters on that morning, I saw a boat, two men on it, fishing. Early in the morning. And as I stood there and looked at that, I felt the Lord saying to me, "Ivan, throw your net on the other side." And that year was a life-changing year for me. Let's first of all have a look at the context of the story. Seven disciples. They're obviously in Galilee. They'd obviously, in other words, travel to Galilee. It says this is the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples. Some commentators are of the mind that that is simply the third time that John records having seen him or him appeared. But others, and I'm happy to go with the others, believe that this was actually only the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples, although of course he appeared to many thereafter. And that means it would have been a few days, quite a while, after the resurrection, because the disciples, you will remember, were packed away in a room, a little bit afraid, probably hiding from the authorities when Jesus appeared to them first. And Thomas wasn't there, you'll remember. And then he appeared to them a week later when Thomas was there. And he said to Thomas, "Here we are, you didn't believe, here are the holes in my hands and in my feet. Put your hand into my side, where I was pierced with a spear." So now, it would have taken a while. Unfortunately, neither EasyJet nor Uber were around at the time. And so they would have had to use their feet, or at most donkeys, to get themselves from Jerusalem to Galilee. And today, if you jump into a car and you drive up either highways 2, 4 or 6 northwards in Israel to get to Galilee, it will take you with a clear ride between 2 and 2.5 hours, depending on where you're going in Galilee. But it would have taken them at least that many days to get there. So it's a while afterwards. And of course, you remember that Peter and James and John, sons of Zebedee, and others came from that area. So they were going home and to their families, no doubt. And you can imagine that they would have been a little bit despondent still. You know, what happens now? We've been following Jesus for 3 years. He's risen, perhaps a bit confused. Peter, as you know, quite an impetuous individual, says to his mate, says to the disciples, I'm going fishing. He wants to break out of this, perhaps, kind of fog that they're in, and he probably wants to make some money. So they say to him, we're coming with you, mate. Seven of them. Notice who they are. Peter. It doesn't mention his brother Andrew, although he could have been one of the others, although I think they would have mentioned him. Sons of Zebedee, James and John. Thomas, the doubter. Interesting and I think significant that he was one of them. And Nathanael. Remember what he said when Philip called him? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Okay. And two others. Don't know who they were. Interesting number, biblical seven. In the boat, what did they go expecting? They went expecting to catch some fish. They didn't go out expecting to have a nice night pleasurably cruising around the Sea of Galilee when they could have been sleeping and at home with their families. They were out there to get something, and what they wanted was to get some fish. And they fished the whole night. Nighttime is the best time to fish. They fished the whole night and they caught nothing. Empty nets, no satisfaction, no income, weary. Suddenly, they hear a voice calling from the shore, and they're just about 90 meters out. 90 meters, if you can see it, is only about from here to that building across the road, maybe slightly further, maybe from the kitchen to that building across the road, and you've got 90 meters. It wasn't too far. If it was a nice still morning like that morning I was out there all those years ago, voice would have carried easily over the waters. And notice the greeting. It wasn't, hey you blokes, or hey you out there. He said, friends, as the translation that Heather read from, fellows. It's a term of endearment. Friends. There's an immediate connection here. Have you caught anything? No. They all said. Now, they don't know who this is. He gives them a term of endearment. But he says to them, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. He did not say, try harder. Ah, never mind. Bad luck. Gave them an instruction. He said, throw your nets on the other side. Now stop there for a moment. Go back to Peter's character. What did he do in the Garden of Gethsemane? Right? He chopped off somebody's ear. All right? What did he say to Jesus when Jesus prophesied, foretold his death? No, Lord! Right? That was the kind of person he was. But he was the leader. That's why he was made the leader of those disciples. Now I want you to imagine what he might have said. He is tired. He's a fisherman, remember. He's a professional fisherman. He is probably fed up. Okay? And somebody, some stranger on the shore says, throw your nets on the other side. In other words, pull all those nets in. Haul them across the boat, throw them on the other side. Now, I could be wrong, but the kind of thing Peter may well have thought is, who's this nutcase? Who's telling me, after I, a professional, have fished the whole night, to go and just throw my nets on the other side? Random. We've been here for how many hours? Who is this? But they didn't. They took the net and they threw it on the other side. And it seems very soon, almost immediately, that net filled up with 153 fish. Notice, please, notice the adjective that is used. 150 large fish. Large fish. Okay? So, I think some years ago that if Derek had come home with quite a few large fish, not this size, this size, and showed them to Lila, she would have been fairly impressed. Okay? Perhaps she would have asked him if he'd been to the supermarket. But anyway. Now, who recognized that voice immediately? John. Now, the Bible doesn't say it's John. It says the disciple whom Jesus loved. But we know that that is John. He recognizes that voice immediately. Remember, it was John who lay closest to him at the Last Supper and asked him, who is it? Okay? And he says, it's the Lord. So, who's the impetuous one? Peter. What? Pulls on his tunic over his, I suppose, in those days, underpants, and jumped into the water and swam across to Jesus. Oh, it wasn't too far. He would know to swim, being a fisherman. Off he goes. He desperately wanted to see Jesus again. What about you? How desperate are you for Jesus? Psalmist says, Lord, my heart is desperate for you. I thirst for you. As a deer pants for water, so pants my soul or my heart after thee, O God. When shall I go and see my God? It's a very healthy place to be, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those. You are going to be blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'll never forget a story. There's a fellow called Angus Buchan in South Africa. He's well into his 70s now. But he was a bad-tempered, skeptical farmer that was converted to Christ. His life was transformed. And although he carried on farming, he had a tremendous ministry. There's Alex smiling because she knows about him. A tremendous ministry in South Africa. Okay? And just to let you know, last year in May, there were some farmers, quite a different part of South Africa to him, who said, they phoned him and they said, Uncle Angus, we need to pray for this land. So they organized a prayer meeting. How many people think came to that prayer meeting? 1 million. 1 million people came to that prayer meeting. They had it on a farm in what is the area known as the Free State. Okay? But why am I telling you that? That's actually a slightly aside, but that indicates that there were many, many people that were hungry and thirsty for God to do something in the land. But where did it start? It started in Angus Buchan's life. And I've never forgot him saying that soon after he came to Christ, in the mornings he would spend time with God in an outside room, kind of a study area. And he said, you know, I didn't walk from my house to that room in the mornings. He said, I ran. I ran because I just wanted to be with God. And that's what Peter did. I just want to be with Jesus. I'm not waiting for us to pull these fish in. I'm going. What about you? And notice what was ready for the disciples. Hot food. They've had a night out there. Okay? They didn't have a little gas stove there, you know. They probably were hungry and thirsty, and some hot food. Jesus provided hot food. They would have been so welcoming after a wearying, fruitless night out on the water. And then the invitation to participate using some of their catch. There were fish on a hot fire and bread, which could have been warm as well, ready for them. And he said, bring some of yours as well. Come on, let's just have a nice big breakfast. What love. That's Jesus. Jesus is a giver. Surprised at seeing Jesus. Some of them thinking, is this really the Lord? But they dared not ask because they were pretty sure it was. What were some of the signs that would have brought them to that? Well, think of it. Do you remember the miracles where there were 5 loaves and 2 fish and Jesus fed 5,000 people? That would have started coming to mind, I'm sure. What about he broke bread here? What about when he broke bread at the Last Supper? That would have come to mind, I'm pretty sure. Jesus came, it says, took the bread and fish and gave it to them. As I've said, Jesus is a giver. He gave his own life for us. And then I want to just quickly add in, if you don't mind, the next part of that chapter. Jesus and Peter go for a little walk along the beach. And do you remember what Jesus asked Peter? He said 3 times to him, do you love me? And he said, of course, Peter was a bit taken aback by this. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. But Jesus had to ask him. Remember, 3 times he had denied Jesus. And now Jesus is restoring him and saying, do you love me? 3 times. Okay? And the heading in my NIV Bible is, Jesus reinstates Peter. Isn't that lovely? To be reinstated. Okay? And each time, after Peter said, you know I do, Jesus said, feed. The first time he said, feed my lambs. Who are the lambs? Well, 2 of them have just gone out with Anne. And then the next time he said, take care of my sheep. Okay? And then the 3rd time he said, feed my sheep. Now isn't that a message to the church? Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. That's Jesus' message to us. All right, so secondly, I can tell you the next 2 points are shorter. What is the message for us? And I'm just going to ask you some questions. Who are you right now in life? And wherever you are in life, where are you with God? And where are you in your relationship with others? Your family, your neighbors, your friends, and strangers, people you work with. What may God be saying to you and me through this passage? Is there something you are pursuing that is not of the Lord and that is wearying and fruitless, or both? Do you need to throw your net on the other side on some issue? And notice, by the way, it's 180 degrees. It's right on the other side. If you were to come around the boat, it would be 180 degrees. Okay? And if you want to know more about what 180 degrees was, speak to Malcolm, who was a maths teacher. Okay? And you know, when we come to Jesus for the first time, the word repentance means turn around. And that's 180 degrees. And I think I know most people here fairly well, but I don't know where you are in your hearts, all of you. And I say to you this morning, have you come to Jesus? You may be in the boat, which for the moment we'll call Godston Baptist Church. But are you a disciple like those seven men were? Or are you just a hanger-on or a tag-on? Isn't it time that you heard Jesus' call and responded to his invitation? And like Peter, go to him for restoration and forgiveness. And I really, really, folk, listen to me. I don't want to get onto theologically icy ground here. But I do want to try and bring a little bit of an analogy out of this. What Peter did was, he said yes to Jesus and went to him. And before he even got to him, although he was going to him and he'd heard his call, he'd gone through the waters. And when we say yes to Jesus and we're serious, then we will go through the waters of baptism. Perhaps this is a time for change in your life. Why don't you really seek God and for his direction? Here's some helpful promises. Isaiah 48:17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Proverbs 3:5-6. Many of you will know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, don't lean on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. And in James, finally, James 1:5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And the challenge I want to put to you this morning, folk, if you are one, you can throw your net on the other side or know what God is saying to you is, are you in the place where God can speak to you each day? Do you spend time with him each day at an appropriate hour? And I put some verses up this morning during prayer, and I hope you'll find them helpful. But I've printed those and more. And if you want a sheet, they're waiting for you on a table as you go out. A sheet like this of verses on waiting on God and seeking God. Please help yourself to a copy right next to the eggs when you go out. The disciples caught a huge load of fish. Notice they were large. That amount of fish would normally have broken the nets. It didn't. They brought them in. That would have meant good income for those disciples. Those would have sold well at the market. Okay? They weren't trout, but if Jim had gone past, he would have been able to take some home. Okay? And he is calling us as disciples to be fishers of men in this church because he loves all people and he wants them to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And so finally, maybe that's the message for the church. In this church, we are focusing more on prayer. And we're not only to be praying for GBC, but for churches in our area and for our communities and throughout the UK and even the world. What does God want us to do at Godston? Where should we be casting our nets? And so I would encourage you to attend the prayer meetings. And we have them, I think there's one Wednesday after this, you'll be notified about it next Sunday. And I encourage you to pray with each other when you have an opportunity. If you see each other, if you visit each other, if you know each other, pray with each other. All right? Where two of you, says Jesus, are agreed upon anything on earth, it shall be done in heaven. The church exists not only for those who already love Jesus, but also for those who are lost and without God. Multiplication is the key. Last week we looked at the resurrection of appearances of Jesus as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28. How does that Gospel and that chapter end? The words of Jesus. He came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, listen to this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Do your neighbors, do your friends know about Jesus? If not, are you telling them, even if it's by giving them something like the good news papers that Malcolm distributes? And so to conclude, those seven disciples had something of a life-changing experience which would have remained with them the rest of their lives. Pentecost was still to come, but imagine what their early morning experience with Jesus would have done for them, even though thereafter they were going to be filled with power and preach fearlessly on the streets of Jerusalem and beyond. And what could seeking God and waiting for God and obeying God do for you? What could he say to you in the early morning time with Jesus? I started this message by telling you about my experience on the Sea of Galilee on the 1st of January 1977. How was that a life-changing year for me? Well, you see, in that particular case, I had been on a trip to Israel. This was the third last day. There was a young lady on that trip, which I was very keen on. Okay? And then Jesus said to me, "Throw your nets on the other side." The very first Sunday that I got home, I met my wife, Di, and I threw my net on the other side. And we got married at the end of that year. And that's 40 years ago. So, that's what I felt God saying to me then. But it could be saying anything to you. So where do you perhaps need to cast your net? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just marvel at what you do. We are just bowed down and sometimes want to cry and sometimes want to leap with joy because of what you do. We fall before you, Lord Jesus, wanting you to be sovereign, Lord, to pray in our own lives and in this church and beyond. Show us your way, Lord. Show us your way. Show us where the nets should go, in Jesus' name. Amen.